Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
These guys are ridiculous.
Now, how about them damn Celtics?
And we are back with another episode of How About Them Celtics Seminary, here recording Friday, April 12th, after the Celtics' dominant win over the Charlotte Hornets. Let me phrase that. After the bench Celtics' dominant win over the Charlotte Hornets. The Hornets were missing some guys, too. Didn't have LaMelo Ball, obviously. No Mark Williams. No Grant Williams either. At the same time, the Celtics were without Jaylen Brown, Derek White, Drew Holiday, Al Horford, and Kristaps Porzingis. And they still won the game by 33 points. This is a dominant victory. Peyton Pritchard, masterclass. Peyton Pritchard had 31 points and 11 assists, and he did not play in the fourth quarter. Luke Kornet has 16 and 10 double-double. Sam Hauser had a 16-point game. Namish Keita had 16, 6, and 5 off the bench. With only two fouls, which is pretty good. He was a plus 25 in this game. The Hornets might be the worst team we've seen all season. Them and the Wizards, hand in hand. Like, it was really bad.
Well, Charlotte also did sat. They sat. Yeah, they did. They did sit. They did sit. Yeah, they sat most of their guys. Brandon Miller only played 13 minutes. Miles Bridges played under 15. Micić barely cracked 16. So anyone that's like a mainstay in their rotation didn't really see a ton of time today. But with that being said, really good showing from the backups today. Peyton Pritchard played phenomenal, 31 and 11. Had, what was it, 25 and 9 at the half? Mm-hmm. Something crazy like that to finish it off. So him having a double-double is always nice, and his turnovers, as usual, were under control. And he was looking very confident with the basketball, as he has continued to do for the past month and a half. Drew Holiday's little shoulder flare-up thing that everybody was worried about for a week turned out to be a blessing in disguise, because Peyton Pritchard saw a lot more responsibility start to fall onto him, and he has played excellent. He's really done a great job of being a facilitator. He's confident with the basketball. He's being patient with his decision-making, and you can see it on a day like today where he is the best player probably on the floor. He's still racking up assists, setting his teammates up, and making it easy for him. So I was super impressed with him. I love that for the playoffs. I love that they have another playmaking type player that can look around, survey the floor, and make the correct call. I love it.
We were talking up on the ninth floor. I asked Bobby and Justin, and I asked, how many teams around the league would Pritchard average? If you, like, I'm not saying like replace a starter, I'm not saying anything like that. If you placed Peyton Pritchard onto the team in whatever rotation spot that he would like naturally fit in, how many teams around the league would he average 15 for?
San Antonio.
Tough question. I think San Antonio, yes. I think Portland, yes. Memphis this year, yes. Utah, yes. Houston, yes. Lakers, depending on
Brooklyn,
things,
yes.
But I think you could. Brooklyn, yes. Washington, yes. Detroit, yes. Charlotte, yes. Toronto, yes. Atlanta, probably not, because they got so many guards. Chicago, maybe off the bench. Pelicans. Miami, I think maybe. The Pelicans, maybe off the
bench.
We're
actually a good team. Yeah.
Well, I asked what was the best. I also asked what was the best team you think you could put him on, and he would average 15. And we determined
Orlando?
Maybe the Heat or the Pacers. Orlando, I think those are three good ones. But yeah. The point is, Pritchard's really good. Pritchard is awesome. He's been having a great season. Obviously, like we mentioned, he had 31 and 11 in this one. It was really fun to watch. It was just so clear that he was like dominating everything and picking apart the Hornets' defense, which again, some of the worst defense I've seen all season. That was they were just doubling guys in the corner. They were turning their back on shooters. They were like ignoring guys on the 3-point line. They were letting people. It was horrible to watch. Steve Clifford, no wonder he retired. And if he wasn't bald, I'd say his
phone was terrible.
Yeah, dude. Sam Hauser was fine. 413 is not great from three, obviously, but he did what he was doing. Like, he did whatever. Luke Kornet double-double was fun. But thoughts, you're a big Jaden Springer guy. He finished with 11, 6, 4, and 3. Pretty efficient. Thoughts? Thoughts on Springer?
Well-balanced game from him. He had a good hustle about him. Like, he played hard. I liked the way he just kind of didn't slouch on defense. This was not a meaningless game for him. And he was kind of patient with the ball, just like Pritchard was. He only turned the ball over once. So big kudos to Jaden Springer. I think his mid-range shot looks excellent. I don't know why that can't be stretched out to three. So I think at the very least with Springer, right, you have some sort of building block that you can work on mechanics from. I wouldn't compare him to somebody like O'Shea that really looks rough every time he shoots the ball, where like Springer can take these middies, the pull-ups, and he's not even hitting the rim. It's going clean through. He's super comfortable with that shot. It's just not a shot as a deep rotation guard that you will ever see if you play real minutes. So you have to be able to make the ones that you are going to see in your spots. And those are going to be catch and shoot threes, whether they're from the wing or the corner. That's going to be where he's going to have to capitalize. So I think he's got a good summer ahead of him. He's somebody that I'm looking forward to see improve. And Jack, do you know if he is summer league eligible?
Ooh, summer league eligibility. I don't know. That's a good question.
If he is, I'll be very eager to see him be out there with a lot of responsibility playing alongside some of these other guys that we saw today, because, I mean, he was excellent. And go ahead.
I think it's technically anybody. So, yes, he can
play. Hell yes.
Anybody can play. I think anybody.
Send him. Send him to Vegas.
Technically Tatum.
Tatum should play. Also great tonight, Jordan Walsh. I thought Jordan Walsh was great in the minutes he played, right?
Yeah.
He made a couple threes.
Yeah.
He looked comfortable shooting the ball. He had a nice steal that led to a dunk. I liked the energy he brought in this game. He looked completely able to hang with some real NBA competition with an asterisk because not a very good Hornets team. Again, like you said, very bad. Very, very, very bad. But I was happy to see him kind of shoot some energy into this group. So good for Springer, good for Jordan Walsh. Those are my two favorite guys that don't really play all the time.
Jordan Walsh was awesome. And you could tell that Jordan Walsh was playing within the flow of things. Like, he was playing in a role that he could eventually play with the real Celtics, which is important. And he does that in Bane too, which is really good to watch. Svi Mykhailiou, not as good.
I was wrong about who would take the most threes in this game, but I was right that Svi Mykhailiou has sat and watched 80 straight games, not really playing a whole lot. That man was not seeing a shot he did not like.
He was chucking them, dude.
13 shot attempts, 0 assists.
That's fee for you, baby.
The one time he actually did try and create, he drove, wanted to go up for a layup, realized he wasn't going to get the layup off, then looked to pass, and it was already too late. Charlotte's help defense had come over and cut off the passing lane, and that led to Svi's one turnover in this game.
Mm. Yeah, it's tough, man. It's tough. Meanwhile, Nemish Gate off the bench, 8 of 10, 16, 6, 5, 2. I thought it was really good. I mean, it's all context of it's a bad Hornets team who don't really do much around the rim, and so he's probably not going to get in too much foul trouble. Both of the big guys played well. Luke also played his role really well. But this is an example. And I feel like I've gained this reputation because I said Luke is better than Nimi, that I dislike Nimi. Nimi's good. Like, he's a good player. And this shows you, like, he deserves the contract that he got. I asked Pritchard where he ranks on guys, Pritchard's favorite guys to throw a lob to. And he said he might be one, which, if you watch tonight's game, that motherfucker can dunk the ball. He was throwing them down. So Nimi was really, really good in this game. So I look forward to see how they develop him moving forward because he's a good player.
Yeah. One thing I kind of noticed about Nimi today, and we're not trying to rain on the parade here because I did think he was really solid in this game. That man loves to bring the ball down. He is always bringing the ball down around his knees when he's about to go dunk. So he's got to work on that. I think that'll really help him be effective around the rim. When Rob was here, we saw how effective he became because he was just so quick to put the ball up every time he caught it, and defenses really didn't have an answer. Nimi has potentially have that sort of effectiveness because, one, he's a big motherfucker. Two, he's athletic. He can make plays underneath the basket. You mentioned it, Jack. He had some sick dunks today. The problem was, if there is a problem at all, the thing that you can notice and be like, huh, okay, I can see why he's not really getting real minutes, is those dunks took a while. There was one that he caught a no-look pass, and there was like a second pause before he made a move to go to the basket, and he was just fortunate that Charlotte had like no centers playing for them. It was like Poku and the boys down there waiting for him to dunk the ball, so they didn't really have much of an answer for Nimi down low. And to his credit, he took advantage of it, and he's been taking advantage of it up in Maine too. So, you know, you said it. He is somebody that the Celtics could potentially develop down the road. Would Luke Kornet be a free agent this summer? It could be something that they're keeping their eyes on. Do we trust Nimi enough to let Luke Kornet walk? I don't know if they want to let Luke walk. He seems like he's a glue guy. He has been impressive anytime he gets minutes. Tonight was a prime example, 16 and 10 for him in the start. He started another game this season against Detroit, albeit another bad team, but he did have a monster game in that one too. He has proven he can be effective in spot starts as well. So very happy with what I saw from just about everybody. I would like Hauser to shoot the ball slightly better, but besides that, can't really complain too much about this one. I thought we saw a lot of good performances from guys that don't usually get to get out there.
Yeah, obviously Hauser had an off night, but whatever. I mean, it happens. Your guy, O'Shea Brissett, 11 rebounds in this one, 8 points, 6 offensive rebounds. The one thing about O'Shea Brissett, he was less all over the finishes. With all due respect, love the energy. I don't know if I've seen him finish a putback all season. Like, I don't know if I've seen him finish a grab the ball, come down, and put it back in. It's not
that
like
one dunk in the preseason.
If you're going back that far, I think I have a pretty good point. And it's just weird because he's such a good rebounder because he gets up so high, but then the touch around the rim is just like slightly off. This isn't me saying he had a bad game. He had a great game. 11 rebounds is awesome. Like, his energy was sick, but like, every time he grabbed it, and he went back up and just like, how is that not going down? Like, but O'Shea, obviously the hustle was there, so that was good. But
Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app with more than 3 million members. It is the easiest and most exciting way to get in on the action while you watch your favorite sports and players. You just pick more or less on two or more player stats and watch all the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with basketball, hockey, college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. One of our favorite picks here at the How About Them Celtics podcast is the Jrue Holiday blocks. It's usually 0.5. He just needs more than 0.5 blocks. That means one Jrue Holiday block. And that pick is in the bag. Prize Picks is really simple to play. I can make my picks and submit my entry in less than 60 seconds. Download the app today and use code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
I don't know. That's what I was talking to Bobby with, and he's a big O'Shea guy too, so he wasn't too happy with me either.
You know who was cool today? I thought Jrue Peterson was good.
He made
his threes, had a dunk, but I had my eyes drawn to him on the defensive end. I thought he did a really good job rotating on certain coverages. There was one instance where the defense was in flux, they were scrambling, and he made the beneficiary of the swing hesitate just enough so the rotational defender could get back, and then Jrue then rotated back to his guy and shut down anything that the Hornets could have got there. So he seems like if he puts on a little bit of muscle, he has the smarts to play at this level. Jumper doesn't look super clean to me. It goes in, looks a little weird. Do you think it looks weird, or is that just me?
You know who else thinks it looks weird?
Who's that?
Derek White.
Okay.
Jrue Peterson took a shot in the corner, and he made it. And as he was running back down the floor, I just look at Derek White, and he looks at somebody else on the bench. He just imitates the shot. He just goes.
He kind of shoots. His shot somewhat reminds me of like how Lonzo used to shoot before he switched.
Yeah, it's
like,
all wrist.
Like there is a little bit of wrist. Yeah.
It's all wrist. It's very weird, but it's cash today, so. Flick of the wrist is right. JD Davidson made a three, Sam. Thoughts on JD Davidson? I know you're not.
JD actually looked like he got hurt at one point in this game.
Really?
Yeah, he drove and kind of came up a little bit gimpy, but I mean, I guess he was fine. You didn't hear anything. I didn't see anything online, so no. I guess he's okay. He'll probably play Monday. All right, so I guess, I mean, we'll talk about this on the pod tomorrow too, but we're looking at the results tonight. And so the Celtics got some help, but then they got fucked. So in chronological order, the 76ers beat the Magic, which moved Philadelphia up to 6, Orlando to 7. Indiana and Cleveland were still playing, so they were 4-5. Cleveland then beats Indiana, so Cleveland clinches a playoff spot. They will have an opportunity to win the Central Division, I believe, if Milwaukee, yeah, they have lost. So Indiana fell back down. There's now a three-way tie between Indiana, Orlando, and Philly, and it stacks up where Philly is in the seventh seed. So I believe there is some sort of wrinkle where if Miami, as they won tonight, so they are a game back of the Magic, this is like foreign to everybody, but just bear with me.
I know what you're saying.
Charlie from Always Sunny pointing to my map on the wall. Yeah. But if Miami wins and Orlando loses on Sunday, then Miami will win the South Division. And the winning of the division is the number one tiebreaker when it comes to multi-team ties. Okay? So that would render Orlando not as powerful because right now they sit in 5 because they are the division leader. Neither Indiana nor Philly is. So then it goes to the head-to-head between those two teams, and Indiana has the tiebreaker over Philly. So Philly remains in 7. But Orlando has the Bucks Sunday. So, as of now, Milwaukee has something to play for. The Knicks won tonight, so I think they are tied for second. I'm going to pull it up right now.
They are. They are.
They have the same record.
So what Celtics fans should want, or at least what I think they should want, is
Bucks win.
Heat win, Bucks win, Sixers win, Pacers lose. That would put Orlando and Indiana into the play-in and the Philly and Miami into the playoffs.
I believe so. And also,
it'd be pretty good.
Philly will not be in the play-in if they win and Orlando loses. Or, yes, yes, because Orlando will drop below them. They need one of Indiana or Orlando to lose, I think. Now,
who do they play?
Philly plays Brooklyn. Indiana plays Atlanta. Okay. And again, Orlando plays Milwaukee. And I do not know for the life of me who the hell the Heat play. Some bum team, I'm pretty sure. They might play the Raptors again.
Heat on Sunday play. Yeah, Toronto. A lot of bum teams need to step up.
Well, not really.
I can't imagine.
You just need a Milwaukee win. I guess Milwaukee play. Yeah.
But it would be really great if Miami could also climb into the top 6.
It would be.
Because that would be the dream. Because that would be Miami, Philly finish 5-6. So the Celtics. No, actually, if you want to limit it all risk, so what I said earlier, Orlando Indiana play in is the safest option. If the Celtics want to play at risk, and for what it's worth, I think the Celtics would have the best chance. I think the Celtics should beat any of these teams, but this is just like the easiest path. I think you agree, but let me do my It's Always Sunny thing. If one of Philly or Miami, like Philly could get into 6, right? Philly could go into 6. If Indiana also wins and Orlando loses or something along these lines. Ideally, they should want one of Philly and Miami in 7 so they can win, finish in 7th, and then the other one finishes 8 so the Celtics don't have to play Philly, Milwaukee, or Philly or Miami until the conference finals and then hope Milwaukee also finishes 2nd so they don't have to play them until the conference finals either. That would be like chef's kiss. Do you know what I'm saying? Because then they would have two straight rounds of none of them.
If you asked me, I would stack it this way. And if you're in the comments and it literally cannot happen this way because of tiebreakers, more power to you. I think I want New York to leapfrog Milwaukee. but kind of can't happen because of Orlando, right? Because Orlando needs to lose.
Yeah.
So scrap that. But it would be sick if New York played or Milwaukee played Philly in that 3-6 game. That means you will go to the conference finals and you only have to play one of Milwaukee, New York, or Philadelphia. Not bad. Mm-hmm. Not bad.
Yeah. I think ideally, if you can avoid, like, there is a world where the Celtics can avoid New York, Milwaukee, Philly, or Miami until the conference finals. Oh, there's a world.
Yes.
Like that is the dream. Like that is the reward for being the best.
If Milwaukee wins on Sunday and Philadelphia wins, it looks like that you are going to be able to avoid playing against all three of those teams to the conference finals. I think.
Well, there's four. Like there's a world where they could avoid all four too, which is like really good. If you want to lump Miami in.
How would they? Oh, Miami would play seven.
Yeah, if Miami goes seven, Knicks and Bucks 2-3, and Philly in six, then the Celtics. You know what I'm saying? Like that's the world. That's correct. That's the yeah, line. Yeah, yeah. Then Indy plays Orlando.
I don't know how possible that all is, but it would be sick.
Well, I think it's very possible because realistically,
is there a website for this?
No, there might be, but I don't know it. Like Milwaukee and New York, just stay where they are, right? That they're fine. It doesn't matter. 2-3, like that is good, right? It would have to be Milwaukee. So if Milwaukee, you'd have to have Orlando lose, so Miami jumps them, and then Indiana lose, Philly win. If both of those things happen, if
yeah, that would take
Miami, Miami, and well, it's just Miami, Philly lose or win, Indy, Orlando lose. That's it. I think I'm pretty sure.
I'm not convinced Atlanta is going to play anybody on Sunday, and they play the Pacers. Atlanta has nothing to play for. They're locked into 10.
We pray. we pray. So, I got into another. It wasn't as noticeable because it didn't go viral. This can be. We can wrap after this. But I was. We all remember my. How are you? After yes. During Joe. So I was talking to Pritchard today, and I didn't even like mean to say it. Like I just like I didn't even stumble over my words. But you know when you're like about to say something and you forget what you're gonna say, and like you just like need a second. So I just go, hey Peyton, how are you? But then I realized what I said, and I was like, I can't do it again. And so I paused. I was like, I let him talk. But then it was like an awkward silence because he didn't expect to have to answer the question like a normal person, like Joe should have expected I wasn't actually doing. And then I stared at him. He was like, I'm good. I like nodded at him. He was like, I'm good. I'm good. And everyone laughed. Everyone laughed. She's like, fuck, I can't win, man. I can't win. Because like that's what I thought was going to happen with Joe. But then Joe gave me shit and I couldn't fall for it again. So I had to do the bit. I had to commit.
I hope they post it.
Seal and S will have the video. All you hear is Noah just dying. Like she laughed so fucking loud, like right behind me. I'm like, God damn it, man. I can't catch a break.
I'm scrolling and I see Pritchard clips, but it's not you.
Good. but yeah, good game for the Celtics. Big win. They just fucking killed him in this game, which was great. The Hornets, dude. Pokusevski's fucking terrible. That guy sucks. He's really bad. That's the biggest thing I noticed. Like, if you're getting blown by like there was one play, I forget if it was, I think it was Brissett or Pritchard, and they just like stepped right through him. I'm like, dude. he fouled them hard too. Hold on, maybe we can find the foul because he like grabbed him around the neck.
You're gonna pull up a clip in this game.
No, I'm not. But I'm surprised you don't remember it because we were up there like, whoa. Like Poku like grabbed somebody around the neck and swung him around.
I might have
getting killed.
It might have been when I was eating. I don't know.
Anyways, that's fine. Any final thoughts?
No.
All right. We'll get on out of here. We'll talk to you later. Thank you all for tuning in. Make sure to leave a like on the video. Subscribe to How About Them Celtics. If you're listening on podcast platforms, leave us 5 stars and leave a review. My camera's working again, by the way. I just clicked a button on my computer that I didn't realize existed. So my bad. I'll let Sam wrap it up.
Yeah. Thank you very much for watching. Or you could be listening because these game recaps all go to Spotify and Apple, as well as the full pods that drop Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday. As far as YouTube content goes, we do live streams Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings for Talking Seas with Bobby Krivitsky. We're also live for Celts of the Roundtable on Tuesday afternoons around 6 p.m. Eastern, I guess evenings. And we'll be around 9 p.m. this week for a guest. Also, we're live a half hour before each Celtics game for pregame, so you don't want to miss any of those streams. They're an absolute blast. Subscribe to the channel, hit the bell. Again, Spotify, Apple, follow us there. Leave a five-star review. Email us, hbtcpod@gmail.com is the address for that. Tell us what you thought of this game. Tell us your atlas. Tell us who you would like to see in the playoffs. You can find us on socials at How About Them Seas for Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Our Facebook is just the name of the podcast. All of our streams can be found on there, on YouTube, and on Twitter. Jack's Twitter is at Jack's1NBA. Mine is at SamLaFranceNBA. That's it for us.
Chaco's having some fun here.
It is bogus!